We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim with Bob and Andy, and it's time to continue our top 25 countdown on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Bob's countdown of the top 25 players. I will do the we are up to number nine right now.
Nine.
I will do the very fast read through of who we went through, which is Jesse Luceda, Lance Dixon, Keaton Ellis, Adisa Isaac, Des Ohms, Marquise Wilson, Ellis Brooks, Brandon Smith, Tariq Castro Fields, Noah Kane, Jason Owe, Will Fries, Lamont Wade, Mike Miranda, CJ Thorpe, and at number 10, Antonio Shelton, which means we are up to our top nine. And we've got an interesting first couple players here. The first one is PJ Mustafer, Bob.
Yeah, man, I just I really think the world of this guy. I've heard some former players tell me that it was always a question of not if, but when. They played him as a true freshman in spurts. He was in a timeshare with Antonio Shelton last year while Robert Windsor had the other tackle spot. You look at him, he looks tremendous. He's got a high-level wrestling background, which I think actually speaks to how good he can be, because that's all about balance and leverage and hips and low man and all that stuff. I think he is going to play his best football by far this year for Penn State. I think he can be a guy that gets, you know, he can be a disruptive player inside. I think he can impact the pass rush. I think he can make, he can have tackles for loss. I just think that, I think by the time he's done at Penn State, and it could be after this year if he really, really jumps up, I mean that, I think he's going to be a very rare one of the better defensive tackles they've had at Penn State in the last 10 or 12 years. I really think he is a special player, and now that he's going to get more snaps, he's going to get a chance to do more damage, and I think he's going to cause a lot of problems for guards and some centers.
Boy, that's a lot in the last 10 or 12 years. I mean, you've got Jordan Hill, you've got
absolutely.
You know, you got Austin in there.
Johnson, Daquan Jones. Jared Odrick played a little D tackle. Yeah. In addition to being a defensive end, I look at him and he looks the part of a guy that should dominate. I expect him to, and I just think that this, even though they need some depth at defensive tackle behind him and Antonio, the fact that now he's freed up, I think, for more snaps, he should thrive. I think the last 2 years have really prepped him for a bigger role this year. I expect him to really be a guy where you see him make some plays inside each game that make you shake your head.
So this is what's
go ahead.
This is what stuck when you're talking about PJ Mustafer. The hardest thing for a defensive tackle to do, especially in a timeshare, he was in a timeshare, right? So it was limited, is flash, right? That's the hard thing to do. It's the expectation for a first year guy like that in a timeshare is he's good at, you know, at what he needs to do play after play after play, but he flashed. He flashed last year when he was in. He made splash plays. You sometimes would see him get off a block and make a tackle inside where you'd expect a linebacker to be. You know, stuff like that. Like, his flash ability as a timeshare guy was, to me, was off the charts. I still think as a full-time guy, he's going to need, you know, that play-to-play to be better play-to-play. But the flash, you can't teach that. You can't.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a game or a half where he strings together a couple of great series. Like, we saw that with Yetur Gross-Matos in 2018, where he came off a true freshman season. You thought he could be good. And then the first month of the season, a little bit quiet. But if you remember, once he got into the Big Ten season, he had some games where he literally took over the line of scrimmage.
He wrecked it.
PJ's not Yetur Gross-Matos. I don't think he's that kind of an athlete. But inside, I do expect you're going to see him make some plays more than one play in a game where it either changes the game for Penn State or it really, really makes you go, man, this guy could be an NFL player.
Yeah, and I love what Shelton does with the how he grinds and does the dirty work. The two of them together could be something pretty special.
Well, and Bob, you also had the two listed 10 and 9 right next to each other, and I don't believe you had another tackle listed in your top 25.
Couldn't do it.
But there's got to be someone who rotate who's third and fourth man up.
A guy that now will be, by the time the fall rolls around, he'll be 2 years removed from the torn ACL, is Fred Hansard. I've been waiting for Micah's teammate at Harrisburg High School, Damian Barber, to take that step. It hasn't happened yet. Until it does happen, I'll be pleasantly surprised if it does. But right now, I just think there's some other guys maybe now that they're looking at that may have caught him or passed him. But they definitely need a third guy, Jimmy, because they can't play Mustafa and Shelton 60 Correct. Snaps. You don't really want Shelton on the field in passing situations anyway.
They have to get some
big bodies in there they can count on. And I think that's going to be one of the more underrated parts of the rest of this offseason, however long this offseason is. They got to get some guys they can trust in the game in big spots.
Yeah, Hansard's one for me. If you look back at the 18 season, I mean, he was just awful, right, when he was coming back from injury. Yeah. And it was just not good. And last year it was a little less egregiously bad. I think he's got a step in him, and he's a big enough body to be the third guy in. And in the role Penn State will ask him to play, I think he can do okay.
Yeah, and you know that Penn State's been really trying to build depth the last 2 years. When you move C.J. Thorpe to defensive tackle, it speaks to
– you got a problem.
You just don't feel confident. Either your guys are too young or they're just not giving you what you want. To have to do that 2 years ago on a team that was in the contention to be, you know, a top 10 or a top 5 team tells you that it's a critical need to develop defensive tackles behind the starters. Hopefully this year they do, but I think it's been one of the bigger issues the last couple of years. It's kind of helped them back a little bit.
New D-line coach.
All right. Well, before we continue, what did we forget, guys? What did we forget?
The winner.
The winner.
Our winner is Brad from San Francisco. So, Brad.
Well done, Brad.
We will be getting in touch with you and get you out your barbecue package.
Well done, Jim.
Eventually, I will remember. All right, we're moving to number 8, Bob, and this one is an interesting one. Rashid Walker, left tackle.
Man.
Yeah, I almost had him a spot higher when we talk about the number 7 guy. Hopefully, we'll do it in this segment since we only talked about one player. I almost flip-flopped him with the next guy. I think Rashid Walker is an NFL player. He's an NFL talent. I really thought as a redshirt freshman left tackle, he played against some really good players, and there were some times those really good players made him look bad. But if you're going to play 60 or 65 snaps during the course of a game against a good defensive player, you're going to eat it once in a while.
Yep.
The Iowa game stands out to me. AJ Epenesa made some plays against him, but there was also some stretches where AJ was a little bit quiet, and they're talking about him as a first round pick. I think Rashid Walker, when you look at his size, how quick his feet are, and I think they can get a little bit better. He needs to add a little bit more strength, but he's a tough guy to get around. And then when you're talking about left tackles, I know run blocking is important, but you're really talking about, more often than not, the blind side protector for a quarterback who throws right-handed. It's important that you're almost always facing an elite pass rusher against a good team. I just think he is equipped to handle just about anyone that lines up against him. I just think he's going to get only going to get better. And by the time he leaves here, I think he's going to be a guy that plays in the NFL, and he's going to play, I think, a long time in the NFL.
Love Rashid Walker.
I like him better than Donovan Smith when Donovan Smith was in the NFL.
Loved what in being potentially underdeveloped and forced into a role over, you know, a 13-game thing. And yes, Bob's right. He did have some moments that were not good, but over the course of 13 games, man, was he good. And you didn't look at the left tackle spot very often and see much of a problem, whether they were running or passing. He's going to make another step. I just thought he was fantastic last year.
We're going to play a real quick game of take a stand.
Mm.
This is Rashid Walker's last year at Penn State.
I think you're gonna have him for two more years. If he leaves after this year, then he had a ass kicking 20. That's what it's gonna take. I think you only leave after you're a redshirt sophomore if you're gonna be either borderline first round pick or you know you're gonna go in the top 50. And if he gets to that point, that means he had a heck of a year.
No, I say he's a no. He still needs a third year.
Okay.
As a regular, it'll serve him well.
It's fair. But you ruined. We could have used that one down the line.
We'll run a repeat.
All right, maybe people will forget.
All right, we're to number seven. It's Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, there's a couple things that went into this pick. Why he's technically this high up on the list as we get lower. You look at Jahan Dotson, and I don't think there's one thing he does great, right? But I think just about everything he does, whether it's route running, whether it's speed, whether it's catching the ball, whether it's making yards after the catch, he's good at all of those things. I think he's a well-rounded receiver. I think he absolutely has to be the centerpiece of the passing game when you talk about wideouts for Kirk Ciarrocca. I just don't think there's anyone that's really as polished as he is. I remember Matt Millen told me last summer how much he thinks of him as a potential player. He's not really super big either, and he's not blinding fast. But if you look, he did a lot of damage on the catches that he had. I think he averaged 18 or 19 yards a catch. I think he can play he can play inside or outside.
Yep, he can play both.
And I think he's going to take a run at 1,000 yards this year. I really do. I think he's a guy that can catch 40 or 50 passes, and I think he's really, really going to take off, but he's going to need some help around him.
Remember they got him in the coaching change at UCLA because he was committed to UCLA. I think the world of him as a receiver. I don't think he's the definition of an elite number one receiver,
right. Yeah.
But he's Penn State's best receiver. And I always, even in 2019, I thought I want to see him targeted more, and it was just the KJ Hamler show, and I get it and why it should have been, but I always thought that he was the most undervalued proposition that they used on offense consistently. Now he's got to flourish in that role.
You mentioned, Bob, about playing inside and outside. Which do you think he'll end up? Do you think he will take the KJ Hamler role in the slot?
Well, I mean, they weren't afraid to play their best receiver inside last year. I think it's just going to depend on what body types emerge. If Daniel George takes a big step in the offseason, I think he's absolutely going to play outside. If it's Dunmore or is it Kevion Lambert?
Yes,
I think one of those guys I'd keep an eye on. I think you're going to see him play both, depending on how the defense is aligned. But he's a versatile player that's really going to help Penn State.
All right, that is it for today's show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Bob. And thank you all for joining us. For all of our Keystone Kickoff segments, you can go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or better yet, download the Keystone Sports app.
This is Ross Tucker from the Keystone Sports Network reminding you that the blue-white game is coming soon and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV, enjoy 409 Tailgate Club barbecue, and a free bus ride to the stadium. I had the chance to enjoy the ultimate tailgating experience, and now you can too. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark 1-800-519-8467 for all the details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.